WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's continued to pressure Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says he's already made changes within the Justice Department.
President Trump just days ago forced out a top federal prosecutor whose office did not find any evidence to back up allegations that New York Attorney General Letitia James committed mortgage fraud after months of investigating.
President's going to nominate his former defense attorney, Lindsey Halligan, as U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. She has no experience as a prosecutor. The Washington Post reports the president's going to announce a link today between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows this is not true. The U.K. among the countries to announce recognition of a Palestinian state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calls this an absurd award for terrorism, expected to be a major topic at the U.N. General Assembly, which begins today. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers have introduced legislation to ban hemp-derived THC products in Wisconsin. The proposed bill would close a loophole in the 2018 federal farm bill, allowing certain kinds of items like beverages and vapes that contain THC to be sold legally. The group of lawmakers also cited an incident from last October, during which dozens of people became sick after unknowingly consuming THC-contaminated food. The bill would change the technical definition of hemp and ban the sale of items that contain synthetic cannabinoids. Wisconsin State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley delivered her annual State of Education address at the state capitol on Thursday. Dr. Underley praised the work of the state school system to improve graduation rates, push academic performance above national averages, and expand technical education programs. She also called for increased state funding for schools to address persistent staffing shortages, provide more mental health resources, and prevent districts from relying on operational referendums to maintain their current services. The Hayward Community School District will hold its annual budget hearing and meeting today. The meeting will take place in the Hayward High School Auditorium beginning at 5 p.m. School board officials will review the 2025-2026 budget proposal and hear reports from district officials. The meeting will also cover setting the salaries for Board of Education members, providing a school lunch program, authorizing the length of the school year, and discussions about selling some properties that the district no longer needs. The Wisconsin Beef Council and Gather Wisconsin have introduced their 2025 Prime Rib Trail as part of an effort to showcase restaurants across the state. The 16-restaurant trail includes four locations in the Northwest Wisconsin region, including Chicken Chasers Bar and Grill in Fall Creek, Jake's Supper Club in Menominee, Lehman's Supper Club in Rice Lake, and Pine Creek Pit Stop in Ashland. Residents can also nominate their favorite restaurant for consideration in the 2026 Prime Rib Trail on the Wisconsin Beef Council's website or on social media. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10 to Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they do and what they want to see, and that's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday, tried to throw a pin, and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible through mid-morning. Otherwise, more clouds than sun with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. Highs right around 70. For tonight, patchy fog developing again, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class, so do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class, and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here back up north on this Monday morning, September 22nd. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Brittany Merlot is standing by with the forecast. John and Gordy going to join us from Madison A1 in just a sec here as well. But we are marking the final hours of summer here. The autumnal equinox hits during the 1 o'clock hour this afternoon. And so we've been asking, what's so great about fall in Wisconsin? I'm sorry, I need to say that differently. What's so great about fall in Wisconsin? I want you to tell us. Do you have a favorite place where you go to see the best color leaves? Is there a particular Oktoberfest that you like to go to? I think lacrosse is coming up this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. So what makes Wisconsin so great in the fall? Head over to the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, or use the Civic Media app and either text us or leave a voice note to let us know all about your favorite things to do in Wisconsin during the fall. So speaking of said equinox and the climate and the weather and all that science stuff, Brittany Merlot is here. And is this what the equinox, is that the day where we're supposed to like stand an egg up and see if it balances and nonsense like that?
What? I think so. Okay. I've never done it.
Have you never heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've never done it.
Maybe I've heard of it.
Have you?
Because right when the sun's over the equator and the earth is like perfectly balanced and you can actually stand an egg up and it won't wobble like a weeble. Yeah, nobody believes that.
But, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it today.
Now we got something to do during the 1 o'clock hour today,
smash.
Right? I like it.
Yeah, 119. So here we go.
you did not lie when you said this could be kind of an icky, unpredictable, spotty system sitting over the state for the weekend. And yeah, true to form. So when do we get this out of here?
Yeah, it's a mess. We've got dense fog that built in. It's still lingering in places, and it could stick around till about noon in some spots. So foggy out there. It is dreary. We've got scattered sprinkles up north, more heavier rain down south. We've got a front draped from La Crosse to Sheboygan right now. And actually some strong to severe storms are hitting in towards Baraboo, Portage, and also into Montello as well. And those are continuing in towards Waupun and over east. So as that moves through the state today, I still think that storms are going to be sparking along that front. So expect from La Crosse to Sheboygan, seeing more continuous rain. And then it does ramp up as we go into early this evening and tonight as that front starts to slide south. It is going to sweep towards Madison, Milwaukee area, and continue to linger there through tomorrow. I think up north we're going to stay dry tomorrow. Those scattered showers and rain stay way far south. You do have a chance in the southern parts to get a few sprinkles still into Wednesday while the rest of the state dries out, warms up, sun comes back. We're actually going to be in the low to mid 70s for a good chunk of this week. But by the time we get to the weekend, it is going to be bright, beautiful and near 80 degrees once again. So that is good temperatures and sunlight for the fall colors to be changing. And of course, we want the drier weather after such a wet weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Robin Tigerton says that he took pictures of the sunset with fog building in the background for the final summer sunset of 2025. Looking forward to seeing that. And he mentions that Apple Fest will be in Tigerton this Saturday. So that we're getting to that time of year now where you've got your all your Apple Fests and things like that. Where else did I see? I haven't looked at the full list yet, but I know in Bayfield, they have an apple pie and dessert contest this weekend. And then in Pittsville, they have the Splash of Red Cranberry Tours. So we got all kinds of great fall weekend things to do yet here.
There's so much stuff. Always the events, you know, and the farmers markets before they close. And even if you can get off roading on the trails to see the fall colors in a different light. So gorgeous.
Yes. All right. And Tony says there's loads of fog in Ashland here today. So, you know, again, just, if that's the case, you know, drive safe and we'll get this burned out and have some nicer weather. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. All right. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. And there is a new daily newsletter from Civic Media. You can find it over on your, what do they call that thing? The Substack there. Yeah, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Listen to me sounding like an old codger. It's just, I'm just getting set to talk to people of my kind. That would be John and Gordy from WMBX in Madison, who join us as well. You can hear them in the Madison area 6 to 8 or on the Civic Media app. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning.
We're pretty good. Only work 2 hours. You work three.
Yeah. Well, there's a time change up here. We have to work 3 hours to get as much done as you guys get done in two.
Well, thank you. I'll use that as an excuse next time.
Yeah, it was that, or I was going to credit your agent for great contract negotiating. But whatever, however it works, it works, and it allows me to get to spend some time with you, which is really nice.
There's some irony in all of this. We were up for the Best of Madison Magazine Award,
Best Radio Team,
and we lost out to a radio team that does 1 hour a week. So, you know, we put 5 hours of a lot of research and show prep in, and these guys go in for 1 hour, and they beat us up.
There's a lot to say about some of these, shall we say, elections, basically. I think I was up in volume one for Chippewa Valley Radio. And I thought I had a few more votes than I did, but once I counted me and my mom and Sherry, and the daughters kind of forgot. So I got three votes, which is nice. So over the weekend, I wanted to ask in Madison now, and this goes back, there was a pretty good 30-year run there for Badger football. I mean, if you go back to, when Barry Alvarez first came on the scene, there were some dark times, then things got better. It's a pretty good run. Shall we say football karma for the Badgers is, stop me if you've heard this pun before, a little fickle.
Yeah, I would say, good. I would say a lot of people are criticizing the Badger coaching at this point.
I mean, it's, what's it like to be in the shadow of Camp Randall when it's just not as guaranteed good as it used to feel down there?
Well, it's frustrating, I'm sure for the Badger fans, especially, I mean, the big Badger fans,
the alumni,
it's more difficult for them at this point. Followed them for years. Yeah. I'm sure it's very, very frustrating for them.
The kids don't know the history. They don't care. Yeah, they go to the game, just to have fun.
They get spoiled. Yeah.
Just a big party.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of party, as I was trying to look at what was happening down there, I believe over the weekend was the Willie Street Fair.
Yes.
Okay. Willie Street. That's Williamson. That's the full name of the street, right? But they call it Willie Street. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. And I'm not saying you guys like go every year, but that's not a small little craft fair. That's kind of a big deal.
It's a fun eclectic time.
It's very
eclectic. Eclectic describes Willie Street very well. Yes.
It used to be Willie Street was just loaded with hippies, I mean, talking late 60s, early 70s. It's changed over the years. There's still that element. There's a feel over there. There's a lot of very independent shops Not very many any franchise places or anything like that. It still kept its charm.
There's a lot of t-shirts on display there, Pat. Worn old t-shirts on display.
But there are a lot of really cool cafes and, you know, nooks and places like that.
You know, one thing I noticed over the summer is that because the students are in this college town, there are a lot of seniors out there. And I'm thinking, boy, look at all these seniors. What will happen to all the businesses downtown when they're gone, you know? And, well, they're replaced by students.
Now
I don't see any seniors. I only see your students. We went down downtown here over the weekend to celebrate our wedding anniversary. And it was a lot of fun, but, you know, very young and encouraging. To say the least.
That is good though. When you see that, you don't see the signs of a city or a town that's getting old, you know,
right?
Because you don't see the young adults coming in there. So that part is refreshing.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the Badger team doing well, and if the Packers are going to break your heart as they did yesterday,
yes.
I suppose Brewer's you have the alternative of going to the movies, which I believe is what Gordy did over the weekend.
That's right. Yeah, I went to see Spinal Tap 2. And end continues. And I gotta say, I thought it was really funny, really good. And I enjoyed it. You know, it might not have the charm of the first movie, because that was really groundbreaking, kind of a mockumentary, you know, groundbreaking hit. But you know, now all the guys are older, and it was all about getting old, and we got to do one more show, you know, just go out on a high note, and that was it was funny from beginning to end.
It's great. It's great commentary on the aging rock and rollers out there. I mean, there are so many of them that stayed in the business and still stayed very relevant with their music. MJ, you know, it's kind of cool.
And I don't want to give away any spoilers. I think they're already out there, but there's some cameos from McCartney and Elton John and you know, Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood, and
I'm going to guess Bob Dylan was not one of them, because
Bob Dylan did not show up.
He did what was it, Alpine Valley the other day, and once again like his concert in Eau Claire several weeks back, basically he just kind of sits off in the corner of the stage. The stage is bathed in red. You can barely see him. He just kind of, he doesn't talk. He just kind of sings the songs and then goes away. And everybody's like,
oh,
is that it? Yep. That's it.
I did not see a story on that. That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
So I did a movie yesterday as well.
Really?
And Sherry put it very, very well. I thought she's like, look, the Brewers are still doing well. I can't get into the Packer stuff. It's nice out. I don't want to sit for 3 hours and watch a football game. Plus we could see it because like they were driving. We're like, okay, they're going to run out the clock. It's going to be great. There's a movie that's starting. Let's go. Sure. It was called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. I'd never heard of it. I'd never seen the previews, the commercials, nothing. Went into it completely blind. Sherry had seen it, wanted to see it. And, you know, I'm not against, you know, rom-coms. That's fine. And this was more of a fantasy one. Again, I don't want to do spoilers. So if I just say there's some time travel in it.
Oh, that's cool. Know?
Yeah. And it's very, it's the kind of thing that you'd see more in like a film festival art thing, but it was very well done. I don't have any bad words to say about it. The story I'm telling about it deals with being in seats with the reclining chairs now. I hope you've been in some of those with the little power recliner, which is nice, but it means the legs go up and then the legs go down with the push of a button. Unlike the old theater seats where you always knew what was underneath. Well, at one point I heard a noise and I realized that I dropped my readers because I'm of that age now. And I'm like, oh, the readers fell between the seats. Well, I'll get it after the movie. And so I put the seat all the way out, push the button. I get on my hands and knees. And you realize that with the recliners there now, they don't clean under the seats the way that you could when it was just the seats. Mm-hmm. Are you guys familiar with the term primordial soup?
The
ooze from which all life evolved.
Yeah,
I mean, it was such a collection of dried Coca-Cola and bits of candy and petrified popcorn, and somewhere just out of reach, I could see the readers. But it would have involved getting into that ooze. Yeah. So I'm in the market for some new readers if you've got a place down there. But
so wait,
I highly recommend the movies.
So you just left them there?
What theater was
it? I just left them there at that point. I'm like, I'll just get, you can get readers for like a, you know, the buck and a quarter at Walgreens, it seems.
Okay.
We're talking to John and Gordy about ways you can entertain yourself, like a movie. Just watch where you drop your stuff. And we'll continue on this Monday morning live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Wrightlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing up with the golfer, the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
Hear every Brewer game all season long, right here on WBZH.
Swinging a bouncer, hit the third, double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one, the first to double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Swinging a fly ball, right center field. It is up. It is good! Off the top of the wall and out of here!
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences, unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Well, in the studio with me right now is Joan Ackerman. She is with the Hayward Community Food Shelf, and in particular, you also represent the Hayward Community Food Shelf's Food for Kids program. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. How are you, Mark? Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Food for Kids, how long has this been going on, and describe what the program is about?
Okay. Well, the Food Shelf actually just celebrated its 40th anniversary.
Okay.
And Food for Kids, this is the 15th anniversary of the Food for Kids program. And over the past 15 years, Food for Kids has distributed almost 600,000 pounds, specifically 599,691 pounds of food to children in the Hayward community area.
Okay. And this works through multiple school districts, right?
Correct. Yeah. And Food for Kids is actually now a year-long program.
Okay.
We are just starting the school year program. That is where students can receive a bag of food every Friday during the school year that contains items for breakfast and lunch for Saturday and Sunday when they aren't in school. And we serve the Hayward Public Schools, the LCO schools, St. Francis Mission, Northern Lights Christian Academy, and Northern Waters Environmental Charter School. They all participate in the program.
Yeah. So why was this started? What was the need that was seen so many years ago with school children?
Well, it just was that the people that started this at the Hayward Food Shelf just saw that there were children, students that needed additional food, particularly in the on the weekends when they are not in school.
Yeah.
And while the program has evolved over the past 15 years, one thing has remained constant, and that's providing nutritious food assistance to children.
Yeah, because they are the ones that usually suffer the most.
Yes, and we have heard from teachers that when hungry children come to school, they're not as attentive. Yeah. It's harder for them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to help that need.
Yeah. So is there any sort of requirements that a child or the family of the child needs to meet to receive this benefit?
No, there are no requirements, and there's no cost to the parent or student.
Okay.
They just need to sign up. There are registration forms at the schools. That's on the school's website. I think it was in all of the open house packages.
Oh, okay.
It's on the food shelf's website. You just fill out a form and return that to school, because the school gives us the numbers of students each week.
Yeah.
Because it does vary if kids are sick or something, and additional students can sign up at any time during the school year.
Yeah, right. And then you said this is now year-round. How does that work then when over the summer months when school isn't in session?
Right. About the year after Food for Kids was started, the next year we started a summer program. And again, parents can sign up their children for that. Again, no cost. Just fill out a form rather than deliver the food to the schools. The parents or a designated person can pick up a box monthly at the food shelf during its regular hours, and that is approximately 25 pounds of food for the month. Pretty much the same that's in a weekly bag, you know, an entree, vegetables, cereals, fruits, things like that. It's just on a monthly basis.
Okay. Now, you're on the board for the food shelf. At the board level, have you seen an increase in demand over the past couple of years, or is there seasons in each year where the demand gets to be more than normal?
I would say that the demand is increasing. It's not necessarily seasonal.
Okay.
Just based on a lot of factors of food costs and certain programs not be available, that the general program, which operates on Monday mornings and the first Saturday of the month, they have definitely seen an increase in participation or clients coming in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So speaking of donations then, how can people donate financially, or where can they bring food to donate to the food shelf? Is there boxes out at the different stores fronts, or can they just bring it to the...
There are some boxes like at Marketplace. People can also drop off food at the food shelf when it is open.
Okay.
We don't want to leave food
outside. Yeah.
And if people are looking to donate cash, they can either... make checks payable to the Hayward Community Food Shelf, and our P.O. box here in Hayward is 779, or you can donate on our website with a credit card. There's no charge for that.
Yeah, and the website is?
HaywardFoodShelf.net.
HaywardFoodShelf.net.
Right, and it is a fee-free donation with your with your credit card.
Okay.
And that's on our website and also the Facebook page.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Joan, for coming in and telling us about the Food for Kids program offered by the Hayward Community Food Shelf. And again, if you want more information about this, you can go to their website, and there is a form there, or check in with your child's school for an application to the Food for Kids program. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you very much, and thank you. And I encourage anyone would like to participate in the program to do so, and you can do it anytime during the school year. So if you don't sign up the first week, you can sign up anytime during the school year and just turn that form into the school.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs has announced nearly $9.3 million in grant funding for Wisconsin organizations. The grant funding was provided by the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, which helps to seek veterans with housing counseling, accessing health care, and financial planning. Four Wisconsin organizations received a portion of the grant funding, including Veterans Path to Hope, Indian Head Community Action Agency, Center for Veterans Issues, and Community Action Coalition for South Central Wisconsin. The Red Cross of Wisconsin is once again calling for additional volunteers to assist with disasters across the country. Red Cross officials say natural disasters are becoming more frequent and often more severe, and the organization is in critical need of more volunteers for its disaster action team. They also say the Northwest Wisconsin region is in particular need of more volunteers, even for short-term assignments. Residents interested in volunteering with the Red Cross need no prior experience, and free training materials are available online. The Barron Electric Cooperative's Board of Directors has approved the return of over $1.2 million to over 16,000 current and former members through cashback credits. Checks will be distributed at a pair of Cooperative Month events that will be held on October 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Spooner and October 9th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Barron Electric's office in Barron. Members who are unable to attend one of the events will get the remaining checks mailed to them by the end of October. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is seeking applicants for appointment to serve as the Washburn County Coroner. According to a press release, the current county coroner will resign effective September 30th, and the chosen applicant will serve the remainder of the unexpired term through January 4th, 2027. Residents interested in applying for the position can find more information, the qualifications needed, and submit their application on the governor's website. Application materials must be submitted by October 3rd. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible through mid-morning. Otherwise, more clouds than sun with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. Highs right around 70. For tonight, patchy fog developing again. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 50s. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA+ rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real results is going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
We are getting near the end of the regular season for the Milwaukee Brewers, but thankfully there will be some postseason action as well. But as for the regular season, well, there's a three-game series starting in San Diego tonight, then tomorrow night, Wednesday afternoon, a day off on Thursday, then a homestand against the Cincinnati Reds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then that does it for the regular season. Tonight's game against San Diego, the pregame coverage begins at 8:05. On several Civic Media stations. Head over to the website to learn more. And while you're there, check out again the details on the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, which we'll be doing in the 7 o'clock hour throughout this week and next week, where again, with that Civic Media app, you're going to text in a keyword and that'll get you entered for a big grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota. It's a Green Bay home game, and you can get more details on the Go for the Green and Gold contest from Jane and Greg, part of Matt and Air on Air, coming up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The fall session of the legislature is getting going. We talked to State Senator Kelda Royes an hour ago. She's candidate for governor, and we talked about the package of education bills put forward by Democrats, the package of education bills put forward by Republicans. There's not a lot of common ground there. And unfortunately, it seems that even when there is a hint at common ground on something, there usually are some kinds of strings attached. And that appears to be the case with a different package of bills that Republicans are saying they'll introduce this week to deal with our elections, specifically absentee ballot drop boxes. Now, keep in mind that absentee ballot drop boxes were used for years in Wisconsin with no issues and with the support from both parties. Republicans really liked it because in rural areas, places with older populations, it was a matter of convenience. Democrats liked them in urban areas. Again, people who might have had busy schedules or young families. Again, they could drop off their ballots as securely as when you drop your mail off in the mailbox. All right? They're fine. They work. When Donald Trump knew he was going to lose the 2020 election to Joe Biden, and the documentation is there. Months before the election, he started laying the groundwork toward trying to steal the election, or at least to circumvent it or to cast doubt on its integrity. And one of the things that he flailed at was absentee ballot drop boxes. And then in the wake, for reasons I can only log as, quote, a cult of personality, unquote, suddenly so many Republicans didn't like absentee ballot drop boxes either. And there were court challenges and there were conservative justices who said, yes, these things, it's like we just discovered them and they're bad and we have to get rid of them. Well, thanks to voters in Wisconsin, the state Supreme Court was put into progressive hands and progressive justices looked at that and said, what are we talking about here? They work, they're fine, let them be. Let's turn to another matter, and then I'll bring the two together, and that is the processing of absentee ballots. again, they're put into these envelopes. If you, if you've ever filled one out, you know that you have to sign it. You have to get a witness to sign it. You have to put the address on there. Again, the ballot is sealed. You just know that there is an absentee ballot in there. And you either use the ballot drop box, or you mail it in, or you bring it back in person, or you fill it out in person at your local clerk's office. And then it goes into a box, goes into a locked box someplace until election day. When they're opened up, you have to check the addresses. You have to check to make sure the signatures are there and they're valid. And then you can open up the envelope. You can pull the ballot out, and then you can process them. Well, there's a lot of places, because they're big cities and there's only so much time and so many people and so many ballot counting machines, that in these larger cities, you have election results that don't come in until late at night. There's a way around that. And that would be to allow the absentee ballot envelopes to be checked the day before, make sure that they're good, toss out the ones that aren't. And that way, right away on election day, you can then just open them up, open up all the good ones, then you can run the ballots through the machine. That makes sense too, right? Right. So Republicans are now saying they're willing to go along with this. Well, that's nice of them. I mean, for the past couple of election cycles, we've known, Republicans and Democrats alike, that processing the absentee ballot envelopes the day before would be a good thing. And yet Republicans in the legislature have fought against that, have not supported it, for only one reason, and it has nothing to do with security. It enables some of them to continue the talking point, basically the conspiracy theory that, well, if the ballots are taking so long to count and the results are coming in the middle of the night, there must be something shady going on in bad old Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay or Racine or Kenosha. There must be something that we can't trust there. But they won't, of course, pass the bill that would allow the processing of the absentee ballot envelopes so that you wouldn't have that talking point. Well, now we come to Republicans saying that this week, here comes a new package of election bills, and it would allow for Monday processing of the absentee ballots. Well, thank goodness. And it would allow, you know, for widespread use of absentee ballot drop boxes. Well, yeah, there should be. But of course, here come the strings. And there are definitely strings attached to this, as explained yesterday on Up Front by Republican Representative Scott Krug, who is vice chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. And he said on the program, I think it's fair to say that some of these things, you know, Republicans might not like them and Democrats might not like some of the things. Well, I don't know. There's definitely things for most people to not like in terms of the strings that are attached, because we're now suddenly treating absentee ballot drop boxes like they're Fort Knox, just waiting to be robbed or something. Because in return for Republicans supporting the Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes, the bills include security changes for the drop boxes, including 24-hour video surveillance that must be live streamed on a municipality's website. So in other words, these cash-strapped local governments, whether it's a little township or a big city that's already having a tough time meeting expenses because of cuts by the state legislature, would now have to put 24-hour video cameras on the drop boxes and then reconfigure your websites to live stream a picture of a drop box, which, I'm sorry, you're begging for people to just go to these drop boxes and put on a little theater presentation because they know they have an audience there. It serves no other role whatsoever. But wait, there's more. The ballots, according to this bill, would also need to be transferred from the drop box to a storage facility only under the constant supervision of a law enforcement officer. That's how little respect they have for law enforcement. I mean, you've already got police departments and sheriff's departments that they too are cash strapped. They too have better things to do. And yet the Republicans in the legislature would require that there be an officer or more to go to these drop boxes when these ballots are picked up. So let me ask you this. Are you aware of any mailboxes out there that are live streamed, that have 24-hour video surveillance, and that they're on the U.S. Postal Service website? No, because it doesn't happen. You know why? Because mailboxes are secure, and if you fiddle around with them, if you try to commit some kind of mail fraud or theft, that's a crime. You'll be charged with a crime. The same goes for absentee ballot drop boxes right now. If you monkey around with them, it's a crime. And who's going to take the risk of that to affect what? The 10 ballots that might be inside that box? But we're going to add a law enforcement officer that's got to be there, like you're transferring gold bars? These are the strings that are attached in order to get Monday processing of absentee ballot envelopes. Why? Why can't we just have a clean bill? Why can't we ever just have a clean bill, an up or down vote? Are you okay with Monday processing of absentee ballots? If you're not, say so. Say you want to continue the conspiracy theory about late night ballot counting. But don't tie these strings. And then, of course, when they get voted down because they're ridiculous, they then get the talking point of, oh, the Democrats, they voted no on it. The Democrats voted no on election security. Yeah, they voted no on armed guards. I mean, why didn't you just ask for an armored car to be there to carry the ballots in as well? Maybe a full police motorcade. But always the strings and always the talking point, rather than just doing what is best and most efficient for our elections. And so my hope is, and my expectation is, that if these bills actually make it to the floor, and frankly in the committee process as well, the Democrats will put up amendments that would strip out the ridiculousness, maybe even find some other kind of middle ground, whatever it may be, whether it's strengthening the penalties that already exist for monkeying with absentee ballot drop boxes or something else. But get us to the point where we can do the Monday processing. Have some more respect for your local clerks. Have some more respect for your local law enforcement. And stop making them engage in all of this performative politics so that you can continue talking points rather than having elections that just do what they already do here. They are safe. They are fair. They are efficient. And in the ways that they could be made better, just make them better and stop screwing around with them. Oh, but speaking of screws, how's that for a transition? The headline from the New York Times: Trump's tariffs are damaging America's biggest foreign source of screws. Taiwan has long been a top provider of screws to the United States, but the factories are struggling to survive because of Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. Most people know Taiwan as making all the semiconductors and other electronics. It's a lot of intricate work. But then there's that everyday, essential, almost invisible component of everyday objects, writes the New York Times, screws. But Taiwan screw makers are wondering how their businesses will survive over the next few months. And to what degree will China gain ground in the meantime? Because again, it's not like this is going to be creating American jobs. We're not opening up some kind of new markets for American screw makers. Okay. These are tiny things that are best made overseas more cost effectively, but now they won't be. Along with everything else that is more expensive. Now think of the things that require lots and lots of screws. At Courier Newsroom, we've had a video series for a time. I'm not sure if the person still does it or not, but this would be a perfect episode for it, talking about the things that you don't normally see in politics but are working against you, the ways that you're being nickel and dimed. Instead, the name of the series is You're Probably Getting Screwed. And in this case, it is quite literal. So again, a story in the New York Times, one of the many ways that a made-up trade war is hurting rather than helping our economy. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota and a preview of Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing up with the Golf for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, Jane Matinair is here. Matinair on Air coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Jane's going through some stuff.
We are literally going through things.
Literally going through things, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But first, we've got to talk about what's coming up because you got candidates today.
We do. We are going to be talking to Jocasta Zamarripa, who is an older person in the city of Milwaukee, and she is running for Secretary of State. So Jocasta is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. And then in hour number two, she's been a guest many times on our show, a former daycare provider in northern Wisconsin. Corrine Hendrickson is going to be joining us. She, of course, had to close her child care facility after struggling for so many years trying to hang on. And now she's running for office, and I am thrilled to talk to her about this. Mm-hmm. She's had some pretty interesting things she shared with us when she's talked to some of our lawmakers and their
their opinion, let's say, on who should be providing child care and what they should get paid for.
Yes. I think they did everything but say little lady.
Yes. But, oh, sweetie, if you just stay home and take care of all your neighbor's kids, we wouldn't have this problem.
We first noticed Green when she testified before a congressional committee, and she said it was a somewhat spur of the moment thing when she was going to be in D.C. Somebody knew about it, said, you know, hey, come talk to this committee about it. And it was so heartfelt and said so well. And she'd become basically the leading advocate for child care in Wisconsin over these past couple of years.
Yes.
That I'm not surprised her frustration would lead her to this point to run for a seat in the state Senate, because you get so tired of watching this legislature just ignore big problems.
Well, and I can't imagine the frustration when you do actually get faced, you know, the rare opportunity when you do get to sit down face to face with some of these lawmakers and they essentially just listen and nod and go, yeah, bye, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, so you do that enough times, it's like, yeah, I think maybe I could do a better job.
And she is hoping to do that with Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, although there will be a primary. She is one of three Democrats running in the Senate 17th Senate District, and she'll be talking to Jane about that just over an hour from now. But as far as going through some stuff, because Jane and I are both thinking about, you know, at some point we're going to have to clean out our respective residences, which
downsize a little bit,
or at least lighten the load when apparently you get enough silver upstairs and there's a critical mass and enough gray hair triggers the neurons that say, we got to get rid of some of the stuff.
Yep.
And that's what you're doing right now.
Yep. That's where we are right now. So that's what I did over the weekend. This is just an indication of how old we are, but we still have a big cabinet full of CDs.
Yep.
Which
same.
We haven't played. I play CDs every Christmas as background music, you know, and they rotate on the CD player and things.
Yes. But
other than that, I haven't listened to any of these CDs in probably 15, 20 years.
Exactly.
And so I went through those, and why I'm hanging on to still probably 100 of them is a question that will last throughout time.
You're not going to believe this. So we've got the CDs, we've got DVDs, but we did finally get rid of the VHS tapes. I mean, we just don't. And I got rid of the cassette tapes. You know, there's a handful of them that might have news stories from back in the day or whatever,
right.
But the music ones, and I used to have a whole bunch of blank ones, and they went away. The 11-year-old grandson, last time he came to visit, was asking if we had any, because
cassettes
recorders were what they were like teaching the kids to. It was like some kind of OG way to do something with technology and recording yourself. I think it's like a step before you can teach. Here's how a computer operates. It's
sure.
Here's the technology that got us there. And he thought for sure I'd have some cassettes to give him to take back to school. And I didn't have any.
Oh, rats.
It's like, let's make a deal, you know, when Monty Hall would come over Wayne Brady does it today. I'll give you so much if you've got, you know, a cassette tape in your purse.
In your purse, right.
I don't have a cassette tape anymore.
Oh, that's a shame. I have some old air checks he can have.
No, those are going in a museum someplace.
Oh, yeah.
Like the rest of us, you know?
Yes, exactly.
We're just museum pieces. And so, yeah, I'm getting close to that stage now. And are you familiar with, you know, there's all these different declutter, you know, people at the workplace,
Joy Kondo and whatever.
Yes.
I don't do that. No.
And one of them has a theory called touch it once. In other words, if you get like, say, here's a piece of mail and I have not opened it yet and it's sitting over here. And at some point I'm going to move it over here. And at some point I'm going, you know, I'll get to that pile later. I'm going to move it over here.
Yes.
And the theory is if you've touched it, deal with it, get it out of the way. I'm not very good at that, but it does set up the name of what I'm going to be doing with my stuff when it's time to go through there. I've got something called touch it one more time, because there are things down there, again, dating back to childhood and college and early career. And you always, they're like a little comforting thing to have around, like, oh, look at this, honey. This is when we were dating. Here's the
first,
you know, card you got me. And it's like, We don't need that anymore. So we're
going to touch together
it one
a
more
long time, honey. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to touch this. We're going to touch this record one more time, or my Boy Scout handbook. Why do I still have my Boy Scout handbook? I don't know.
Because you remembered all of it anyway, Pat. Yes, you don't need to that handbook. Right, it's part of your life.
It's part of the technology, like a cassette recorder. That's how useful right. It is. So yeah, I've said as we get closer to that phase, it's like touch it one more time. Say, yep, I will miss it. And get it out of there, and don't make your daughters or anybody else have to do that for you. Otherwise, they're just going to put it all in a dumpster and light it on fire.
Seriously, I'm just glad to know that I'm not the only one who does that with paperwork. I have at least four piles before it even makes it into my office. And then it gets divided into more piles, which is the shred pile and the file pile. And then I don't even know what I'm going to do with this pile.
So many piles.
So many piles.
Many a time I've just said, my to-do list just says the pile. And the I know pile. What I mean. Go take the pile down. Thank you, Jane. Have a great show.
You too.
You will hear Jane coming up from 9 to 11 weekdays, along with Greg Bach for Matinair on Air. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for starting your Monday here with us. We'll see you bright and early Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. back here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump called Charlie Kirk a martyr for American freedom, and speaking at the Arizona Memorial to the slain conservative activist, highlighted a difference between the two.
He did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent.
The president's been pressuring Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring criminal charges against some of his political opponents. Today, the president will address an investigation into the causes of autism in the U.S. The Washington Post reports the administration is going to link Tylenol use in pregnancy to autism and identify a cancer drug as a potential treatment. Medical experts say these studies were not extensive enough to link to one cause or one potential cure. Hurricane Gabrielle's rapidly intensified into a Category 3 storm 195 miles southeast of Bermuda. It's not expected to approach land in the U.S. This is ABC News.